For the past several weeks, reporter Lisa Morehouse has been bringing us stories from the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta. She took us on the route of California's only water-based mail carrier.
I'm out here forever now. I'm never going to leave. I'll never leave this place. To me, this is about as close to God as you can get.
We met a farmer, constantly diversifying his business enterprises.
I love to farm. I like this area. I like to grow things. So if we can figure out how to make money doing something we love to do, then we've got our questions answered.
And a boat captain trying to keep his charter fishing business going strong.
I live on the water, and everybody that lives, all my neighbors are on the water. We're pretty much connected to the water. I'm here because of the river.
But none of those people would live or work in the Delta without the levees that keep the water from flooding the land. In the last installment of our series, Navigating the Delta, reporter Lisa Morehouse introduces us to people whose lives are intimately connected to the Delta's levees.
Mike Scriven is driving a big truck on the levees of an island called Terminus. He's in charge of maintaining the levees here, and that means he's looking for squirrels.
Here's something that we're really watching for is all this squirrel activity that you see here, and there's some fresh diggings right there.
That's a danger sign to Scriven. Squirrels, he says, can burrow into or underneath a levee.
If they go all the way through, then we got water coming through the levee. They're hard workers.
He says animals are a main cause of levee failure. He points out track marks on the levee road.
Okay, you see all these marks in this levee? This is a beaver or an otter.
And if beavers make dens in the levees, water can seep through, weakening the structure. Levees form rims around the islands in the Delta, holding back the water that can be 20 feet higher than the farmland.
If that starts, you know, really getting high water and there's a lot of pressure, then you could have a failure.
That's why Scriven or one of his employees checks these levees every day at least once. If they see a wet spot growing, they dig into the core of the levee to intercept it.
We have material that it's sort of like a gunite that we mix with the dirt and it becomes very hard. And so we dig below where the water is seeping through and then we build it up.
Scriven was elected to a governing board on Terminus. Almost every island has one. Besides inspecting and improving the levees, his job includes maintaining pumps and canals. The work is covered in part by money collected from a tax landowners impose on themselves. Scriven says the government provides funding, too, as long as they can show they're improving the levees.
The levee has to be so high, it has to be so wide. You can have this on the levee, you can't have that on the levee. If you don't attempt to reach those standards, you won't receive any funding.
Highways, railroads, and energy and petroleum lines depend on strong levees. Major failures can impact the quality of the Delta's water, which is diverted to much of the state. Scriven says he and his neighbors get most concerned when there's both high water and high wind. He knows what havoc that can wreak from when he was farming Holland Track in the western part of the Delta.
I personally lost a Holland Track in 1980 due to overtopping. And on the day it flooded, I can still remember it, there was a very clear, sunny day in February. But the wind was blowing about 40 to 45 miles an hour out of the north.
Over a large body of water next to Holland Tract, causing larger than normal waves.
My partner and I were standing right next to the section that broke. And we were out there sandbagging with our workers, trying to, keep it from washing. And we lost. And then the next thing, the whole 2,500-foot section of levee just rolled over, and the water poured in.
He and his partner reclaimed it, draining the island and fixing the levees with government help. He says there have been a few close calls, but never a breach on Terminus. Raising the levees and inspecting and maintaining them with vigilance has a lot to do with that, but Scriven's circumspect.
You got to be lucky.
I head off the island and travel about 15 miles to the town of Rio Vista. I've got an appointment there with Janet Bennett, whose family has a long history in the Delta.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. How are you?
Bennett welcomes me into a lovely 100-year-old house at the top of a residential street. It's very homey, except for the half-dozen tools called clamshell buckets displayed around the yard. They're huge, some taller than I am. For decades, levees were made from tools like these, attached to dredgers. And this building is the Dutra Museum of Dredging.
My late mother and my stepfather, Edward Dutra, established this residence as a museum in 1980.
Bennett flips through displays of photos and engineering designs of dredgers, hand-drawn on linen.
So this particular dredge that we're looking at is called the Dredge Pearson.
She shows off scale models of dredgers and paintings, including a mural that depicts the Delta's history and physical transformation.
We have to remember that during the Gold Rush, the population of California ramped up exponentially with people and with animals, and they all had to be fed.
And a process called reclamation began. The state sold what it defined as swampland to farmers who drained it and built levees to create prime farmland. A mostly Chinese labor force built the first levees by hand. Eventually, companies used dredgers and clamshell buckets to move sand and mud from the waterways and build up levees.
The buckets got larger, the booms got larger, and this helped in the reclamation work here in the Delta.
Dredging played a huge role in building the levees, but today, maintenance and repair work looks different. About 40 minutes away on Ringe Tract, three barges sit side by side in the water. The one closest to the levee has a crane attached. The other two are loaded with rock. Project engineer Ryan Abood is overseeing maintenance work on the levee.
First step is to get the quarry stone on the barge.
That happens at a rock quarry in San Rafael.
And then it's towed up by tug to this location. So that's about a 12-hour one-way trip for our tugs. We'll take two flat-deck barges at a time.
Each barge carries about 2,000 tons of this rock, which is called riprap.
That crane barge scoops the rock off of the barges and then swings it over and places it on the levee.
To help prevent erosion. Abood is 37. He was born and raised in the Delta, in the town of Isleton.
You're living on an island, so you're surrounded by levees. So to get to the river, you got to be up on the levees. Growing up, we would just ride our bikes around the island all day long and drink the river. And yeah, it's fun to go out. If you're going to go fishing, you're fishing off a levee. If you're messing around, you're mostly on the riverside of the levee system, hiding from,
your parents.
Yeah. We were always out on the boat, water skiing, and just enjoying the Delta.
In his 20s, he got in a pretty bad accident.
I took my 66 Mustang off a levee and rolled it between Rio Vista and Isleton. And then, there's a few friends that lost their lives on the levee systems just, going into the river or head-ons. It's a part of life out here.
Levees weren't just part of the landscape, though. Abood grew up helping fill sandbags during a flood and watching people do maintenance work on the levees for a living.
It was always somewhat romantic for me to watch it. No, not really. it was always around. I always thought that it'd be cool for me to work in the Delta, work on the rivers, and so here I am.
And because of people like him, the levees are still here too, part of the interdependent relationships between the water and the people that make the Delta what it is. In the Delta, I'm Lisa Morehouse for Cross Currents.